learning the tool of being becoming present brings you there in that moment with the people so that you can be fully receptive to them. And that's really the point, is we want to be there for other people. And what we have to do is be able to attune ourselves inside to be able to be there for people in this moment.
The Center for Understanding and Conflict welcomes you to The Other Chair, a monthly podcast exploring the dynamics of conflict and how to bring the human issues to the table. Together with our guests, we explore how the power of understanding each other can lead to better solutions for people on both sides of an issue. We will also share tips for managing your own mediation practice, approaching conflict in the professional world, and ways to apply our understanding-based model in your personal life. Hello to our listeners, and welcome to The Other Chair. My name is James Dykman. Today's guest is Gary Friedman, author, mediator, and co-founder of the Center for Understanding and Conflict, a nonprofit educational institute dedicated to advancing the understanding-based approach to conflict resolution and mediation. The subject of today's episode is Gary's book, Inside Out: How Conflict Professionals Can Use Self-Reflection to Help Their Clients. Hello, Gary, and welcome to The Other Chair.
Hi, James. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you, and I'm sure our listeners are glad to have you as well. And speaking of which, I'm sure a lot of them are familiar with your book, Inside Out, but even more people who've come to the Center's programs recently probably may not have heard of it. So maybe just start by talking a little bit about what Inside Out is about and how you came to write it.
Inside Out came about as a result of a series of programs that we've been doing, which we call Skippy. Skippy was Self-Reflection for Conflict Professionals, which is a program that we began, must be 20 years ago now, and it was something that I did with Norman Fisher, who's a Zen teacher. And it came about as a result of Norman and I, Norman, who's a Zen teacher, sitting in on a mediation program that I was doing at Green Gulch Temple, which is a Zen center. And he came to the program. And after, he was very interested. And after, I said, you know, I love doing this program. I'm really glad you came. And you know what? The biggest frustration I have as a mediation teacher is the one skill that's most important that I feel like I don't know how to teach is how people can become, find themselves accessible, go be able to reach inside and know what's happening inside them. Because it turns out it's probably the most central, most indispensable tool that mediators and conflict professionals can have in trying to help other people with their problems. So that came about. So Norman's response was, guess what? I can help you teach that. That's what I do. And so we created this program for conflict professionals that we offered and got people together. And in the program, we developed the tools for how people can access themselves when they're in, particularly when they're in the midst of conflict, and use what's happening inside them to help the people that they're most concerned about helping. So while it's about trying to help the outside, it's a kind of paradoxical that you go inside in order to be able to help people outside. And that's the heart of the program.
So why is this important? What is the importance for a mediator or someone who's mediating conflict to look inside themselves if their primary goal is to be neutral, to guide the two people in conflict together towards their own solution? Isn't the third person in the room just there to facilitate?
Yeah, no, it feels that way at first. It's like, oh my God, isn't there enough to pay attention to already? All the stuff happening outside, and now you're adding to that, and you're saying, pay attention to the inside. How could that possibly help me when I'm already flooded with all the things that are going on? Well, that's exactly the problem, because what this does is it gives you a way of actually connecting to people, particularly when you feel disconnected from people. Looking inside and understanding what's happening inside you is critical to being able to help them. But it's also helpful in a number of other ways, which I develop in the book. One is presence. You know, normally what happens is we go about our day and we're not paying so much attention. There's so much to pay attention to. We're paying attention to all these things that are happening outside us. And we might find ourselves, as we're working with people, thinking ahead, what's going to happen next, or being distracted by things that have happened in the past. But learning the tool of becoming present brings you there in that moment with the people so that you can be fully receptive to them. And that's really the point, is we want to be there for other people. And what we have to do is be able to attune ourselves inside to be able to be there for people in this moment. And there are these, you know, kind of terrible distractions. One of them we call case number 42. Somebody comes to see you and they start describing the case and what happens inside your mind. You say, oh, I know this case. I know exactly what's going to happen. I know how it's going to get resolved. And this is case number 42. It's very familiar. Well, the problem is there is no case number 42 because each individual is unique and their story is unique and their situation is unique. And so the case, calling it case number 42, kind of traps you in this idea of who they might be or could be or in your mind are, but is actually going to interfere with your being there to be able to see who are these people, what is happening in this moment, which has actually never happened before in the history of the world. How do I bring myself to this moment and feel there in this moment, not ahead, not behind, not someplace else, but there with them, committed to trying to be helpful to them.
So once you're present, once you've succeeded in finding this presence that really brings you into the room with the people who you're trying to help, what about emotions that come up? What sort of guidance do you have? Because once you're there, now you've got to deal with what you're feeling and the feelings that are coming up as part of the process.
Well, you have their feelings that come into the room, and then you have your feelings. So you have emotions are a part of conflict. You really can't have conflict that stirs you to any depth without it touching your feelings. And when other people's feelings are touched and you're there with them, that evokes feelings that you have as well. So often there's a lot of professionals have this idea, well, this is not about feelings. This is trying to get a rational answer to a problem. And so feelings have no place in the conversations. Feelings are irrelevant. We need to analyze and be very analytical in our investigation with people and try to figure out what the law is and try to figure out how to help them and figure out what the numbers are. But in fact, feelings are often the gateway to what's really important to people. And if people can become familiar with and access their own feelings, then they can find what they really care about, what's really at stake for them. And as a mediator or as a conflict professional, when I can help them find that, then it opens the door to what they really care about and allows us to focus on what really matters. And particularly when that's happening and I'm mediating, it's happening with both people. So being able to help them with the door open to their feelings, to understand themselves and also to understand each other, is really at the core of our whole understanding model of conflict, where we really want to use this ability to understand. Now, what helps, of course, And what's critical is we have our own feelings in response to that. We may have a feeling of, oh, yes, I completely identify with this person. They're right. The other person's wrong. And so that's a problem because it gets away in the way of our contract with them, which is to be there for both of them and not be on one side or the other. But when we talk about neutrality, what we mean is what we call positive neutrality. And positive neutrality is that we're there for both people. And that means we have to deal with whatever there is inside that gets in the way or could get in the way of our being able to connect with both people and be there for both of them. And that's where the core of the Skippy work takes place, because we have a negative feeling. We don't like someone, or we think one person's wrong, the other person's right. And we experience that feeling. We want to push it away because we realize, oh, this is going to get in the way of our being neutral. So we try to repress it. And of course, it doesn't work. But it's not just trying to get rid of it. That's not the point. If we can open to what's happening inside us, that often opens the door to not just our connecting with the person that we're feeling alienated from, but it actually can open the door to for both people. In other words, what we go through to deal with our discomfort with somebody or our disliking somebody is often the same thing that the other person will have to deal with in order to connect with them. So we're doing the work to connect, for us to connect, but it actually is to open the door for the parties to connect with each other as well. And that's the deep, really deep work that we need to do.
Conflict manifests itself in many ways in our personal lives, for professionals in the workplace and for practitioners who have made a career bringing together parties in conflict through mediation practice. Each month, the Center for Understanding and Conflict hosts live webinars with featured guests discussing best practices and sharing their experiences for tackling conflict using the understanding-based model. So Gary, you mentioned tools, the system that is within the book that you've written, Inside Out, and one of the main pieces that comes up time and again is the inner V. Could you give kind of a high-level description, because we can't show people a chart while they're listening. What is the inner V?
The inner V is a way of working within yourself when you're feeling alienated from one or both of the parties that you're working with. And it's a system that gives you access to what's happening inside you, which is often a barrier between you and the other person, that this will help you remove that barrier or loosen the hold that that barrier has on you. And it's a systematic investigation, increasingly deep, where you find out the core of what's happening inside you at a feeling level, and then open to a more empathic stance in relationship to the person that has said the thing or done the thing that has so alienated you in the first place.
And so this is a V. This is like the letter V, and you start at the top of one side and work your way down. And then once you get to the bottom of that process, then there's another where you work yourself back up and out again. Is that correct?
Exactly right. Yeah. So it's not enough to just do the internal work, which is going down the left side of the V, but it also has to be externalized, and going up the right side of the V up to the top from the bottom is expression and where you're saying things and doing things. And that's why we call it a V, because we can't just say at the bottom of the V and feel like we're connected and not to say or do anything. It helps us kind of realize that we're using what's happened to us going down the V in order to be able to be in relationship and then find expression for that going up the right side of the V.
I wonder if you wouldn't mind taking us down the journey of the V so that our listeners could get a better understanding.
It starts with, how do I know I'm having a really bad feeling, especially if I don't want to have that conversation with myself and let myself know that? Well, we can talk ourselves out of having a, a feeling. And we can say, no, I don't have that. Our mind is amazing, the way in which we can deceive ourselves. But the body doesn't lie. The body tells the truth. And so in our bodies, if we pay attention to our bodies, and this is at the top of the V, we recognize and bodily sensations. So for example, it might be your jaw tightens or your stomach tightens, or you find yourself when you look at your hand, you have a fist. And it's like, what? Where did that come from? Why do I have this fist? So whatever it is that happens in your body to register that you're having a strong reaction, that's the beginning of the investigation. And that's what this is. It's an investigation into what it is that's going on in you that's in reaction to this person that you're or people that you're trying to help. So we start with the body. And we also have our breath. And our breath will also give us signals about what's happening in our bodies and in ourselves. And sometimes we'll find ourselves breathing more rapidly or not breathing at all. Something where our breath is, which is really something we don't have to worry about whether we breathe or not. We will breathe if we stop breathing. If we had to remember to breathe, to be able to breathe, we'd all be dead in about 3 minutes. So we don't have to worry about remembering to breathe. It will happen. But paying attention to the breathing then starts, we start to use that as the kind of gateway to the body. What are the body's experience? And that's the initial level of examination. We then move to something that's underneath that, and that is, what's the judgment that we have about the person? Or what are the feelings we have about that person? So maybe there's a word that captures something about what the feeling is or the judgment. I don't like this person because this person is selfish. And we get very angry with them because they're so selfish. And as we start to feel that judgment about them, we start to recognize that the feelings in us are strong and they're vivid and they're alive. And we continue our investigation. And part of the investigation is, what is the judgment? Judgment's selfish. The feeling is upset with them, condemning of them, angry with them, impatient. It often starts sometimes with a low level of impatience. But as we investigate, we find out more about the feelings that we have. And they're usually layers of feelings. And the layers of feelings, they often start with the more superficial ones like anger. And almost always anger covers deeper feelings of fear or pain. And now we go through the investigation. And as part of that investigation, because we're having such a strong reaction to this person, and we didn't really know them very well, the strength of our reaction has a kind of extra to it. So we ask ourselves the question, does this person remind you of somebody in your life? And oftentimes, as we do that investigation, we realize, oh, this is a familiar feeling. Yes, I can remember having this feeling that goes back a long time ago when I was being criticized for being selfish by my mother, and I always resented her because I felt like I was a generous spirit. And it was a really deep old story that I'm very familiar with. And when I realized, oh, we've got the old story that's in the room, now we, by letting ourselves feel the story, and of course we can't do this in, you know, like 2 minutes, this is something that we do over time, but we can do enough to realize that maybe we need to take a moment, or we need to take some moments, or sometimes in between sessions, to fully digest this and go down the V. But when we do that, and we see that we've got the old family story with us in the room, it's time to put that aside. And that becomes the next step going down the V, underneath the feelings, underneath the story, to now be interested in somebody else's story because we've been caught up in our own story. And when we become interested in theirs, then we start asking ourselves the question of what is it that could be going on in their lives? Like, what could I imagine that might be like for them to go through this and to behave in the way that seems so unacceptable to me? What could be going on if I were in their shoes that might cause me to act like that? Not that I would know, but I'm just open now to the question. Now I'm curious. Instead of I've closed them off and I've decided that they're in this little box of selfish, I'm now going to open the box and try to find out and explore with them and feeling a kind of a gradually developing empathy for trying to care for what it is that's going on with them. And at the bottom of the V, to really be able to feel that I'm connected to them and I can feel their feeling, and maybe they can feel that I'm there with that feeling of openness to them. And at the bottom of the V, we are connected.
Throughout the year, the Center for Understanding and Conflict hosts in-depth, basic, and advanced certificate programs designed to train you to become effective mediators and conflict resolution professionals centered in the understanding-based model. Our training programs have been the gold standard in alternative dispute resolution for 40 years and is popular within the legal community, with human resource professionals, ombudsmen, and corporate workplace mediation clients.
Now, we call it a V because we go down. On the left side, we go down the V to really reach the kind of the core what the connection could be. But now the question is, going up the right side of the V, what do we do? How do we express that? And as Norman and I developed this, we started coming up with a variety of things of what you could say. But it turns out that if you're really at the bottom of the V and feeling connected to the person that you're talking to, what you can say to them is it can be a question, it can be a comment, it can be a statement. Because you're saying it from the place inside you where you feel connected to them, there are many, many, many things, all of which would be right. So there are many, too many things to register to say, this is what you do going up the right side of the V. What we say is, it's not what you say to the person. People often will say, what do you say now? It's the place inside you from which you say it that matters. And you can say something, and it could even be a criticism. If you say it from a place inside where you're feeling connected to them, a place of empathy and compassion and connection, it will be the right thing to do, and it will draw you closer in with them. And that will help you go through it all until you're finally at a point where it feels like you're there together with them and you're living up to your agreement with them.
Okay, so people read the book. They get a better understanding of how themselves as a human being comes into play when helping people in conflict or parties in conflict. And they've practiced and they've learned how to become present and center themselves. They've started to use these tools that you've developed to go up and down the inner V in order to be more effective of their own emotions and responses to help parties in conflict. So then what do they do? The book says, once you get towards the end, that readers should look to put together these Skippy groups. And you mentioned at the beginning of our program how those groups were actually the inspiration for writing the book with Norman Fisher. So what does that look like? How, let's say someone's 1,000 miles away and they've read the book, they're loving it, and they want to put these groups together. What does that process look like?
I want to answer that question, but there's another part of what I want to say before I describe that. And that is, there's another part of the inner journey, self-reflection, that I think is really critical for people who are doing this work. And that is to be able to, over time, identify their motivations and deepen their understanding of their motivations to do the work, the conflict work. You know, a lot of people who don't do work with people in conflict look at people who do work with people in conflict and think we're nuts. Why are we nuts? Don't we have enough problems in our life that we want to add the problems of other people to more complicate our lives and live with the horrors and the anger and the anguish that's part of all that? And we better have a damn good reason to be able to respond with people about why we do this. Because it can't be, I want to help other people. There has to be a selfish reason, something that's in it for you that really is fueling your wanting to do the work that you're doing, helping people in conflict. And the more you understand that, and the more deeply you understand that, and the more you're able to kind of find the roots of that in your life, the more you'll be able to sustain yourself. And this is really an antidote to burnout. Because when push comes to shove and it gets really difficult in there, you need to be able to draw upon your deepest reasons for wanting to help them, to be able to have the energy, the fuel, and the willingness to be able to dive in there with people and be there with them and help them get through this. So that's another part of the whole Skippy program, which I think is really important. And there's another way, another piece of the program that I think we actually have in the program, a series of 9 practices that we recommend for people to use for self-reflection. And I could describe those generally or more specifically. But I think the key here is that there are a number of ways to kind of develop this muscle of self-reflection. And one of them, and an important one, is meditation. So learning to become sensitive to your body and what's happening in your life through meditation. And there are a number of others as well. But there's a very simple one, is we call the 3 breaths. And this means at any point when you're working with people in conflict and you're starting to feel flooded and reactive, you can just take a moment and just take 3 deep inner breaths and in and out. And it's amazing what that can do to just change your relationship to what's happening in the room. And so this is seems so simple, almost absurdly simple, but it is. And being able to do it is really easy. Being able to do it when people are all going nuts in the room is really hard, because you have to remember to do it. So we had one of the people in our Skippy programs said, he practiced every day the 3 breaths, just at various points in the day, taking 3 breaths. It took him 6 months of doing that before he was able to remember to do that in the room when people were upset. So that's an important practice, to be able to be with your breathing. And there's another part of what is there in the Skippy program that I think is really valuable for people. And it's called the buddy system. The buddy system is another way of strengthening the muscle of self-reflection. The buddy system is people pair up with other people in the program. And their job is to support and be supported by the other person. And to do that through regular conversations where they talk about their inner lives and they talk about what's happening with them. And the other person's job is to be able to be there with them. And as we've described in other programs and other parts of the understanding model, we learn to loop. Looping is just demonstrating your understanding of what another person is saying. And so buddies learn to loop each other. They learn to actually help keep the other person focused on the inside when the pull is to the outside. And that's it keeps them deepening their understanding of their focus on themselves and what's happening inside them. And this is a very important thing to do. It's very, you know, you can have partners or people that love you that you can talk to about this, but talking to somebody who's trying to do the same thing and facing similar challenges in the profession. It's very special. And to have buddies that you regularly talk to, where you describe your inner life that's going on in relationship to the people you're working with, is an enormously helpful way to kind of give you the habit, develop the habit of being able to do that when you're alone or when you're working with people.
This podcast is supported by our CUC Connect members, whose yearly membership includes free attendance to our live monthly webinars, 12 additional featured recordings of past training events, discounts to our basic and advanced training programs, and support from our network of certified trainers for continued professional development. Consider joining CUC Connect today and dive deeper into the understanding-based model.
How do you do this if you're far-flung and you've read the book and you're looking for what do you do? Well, one thing is you can start a Skippy group of your own. It can simply be a peer group, and several people have actually used the book Inside Out to be able to help them find others who are interested in being part of a Skippy group. And you can form, as a woman in Portland, Oregon did, she formed a group where they met regularly and over time, and it was a Skippy group. I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't even know it was happening until they had been working together for a couple of years and asked me to come and spend a couple of days with them, which I did with great joy. Just watched how well they were able to do this without me. And so that gives me the most joy, is to not be in a position of being the one that has to make this happen. And that's what a Skippy group is. It's really a peer group. And peers can support each other and help each other in ways that I think is very different than just teachers and students. So you can start your own Skippy group. And just, it doesn't require a lot to be able to do it. It just requires the willingness of several people to kind of come together, colleagues, different professions, people who work with people in conflict, and you can form your own group.
Thank you, Gary, for being here today to talk about your book, Inside Out, and for your tireless dedication to bringing understanding to conflict through your work with the Center. We appreciate you.
Thank you, James. Appreciate your being interested.
Gary Friedman is a pioneer in the field of conflict resolution and mediation and the author of Inside Out, How Conflict Professionals Can Use Self-Reflection to Help Their Clients. If you would like to learn more about self-reflection for conflict professionals or the understanding-based approach, please visit www.understandinginconflict.org. Thank you to today's guest for being with us today, and to our CUC Connect members, whose support enables the Center for Understanding and Conflict to bring new perspectives in the field of conflict resolution and mediation to you, our listener, in each new episode. You can find out more about today's episode, along with full interviews and additional information about conflict resolution and mediation using the understanding-based model at www.understandinginconflict.org.